Yeah, I'd love to be able to spend, you know, most of this time just answering your questions and hearing your thoughts. But thank you. Thank you for inviting us. I sure appreciate being here. It was good to be here last time during the last election, which seemed now really like a long time ago. But thank you so much for having us here again. Also, I'd love to take the bulk of the time to be able to answer your questions. And I would just, you know, start by saying, sir, I absolutely understand the skepticism and the suspicion. I'm skeptical when I hear of anybody who's running for any kind of public office. And you want to know, you know, I wonder if they're going to do what they say they're going to do, why they're running. What's the purpose and all that? You have to be skeptical of me too, and that's why I want to be. I'm especially skeptical of Tim, but I'm going to be skeptical of you. So I totally understand that. That's what I wanted to say is that, you know, because we do have, I think, politicians and people that have done one thing and said the other, you know, you wonder why people run, people that make a career out of politics. And I can tell you that I don't need the job. I really want this job because I believe we can change this city and make it what it should be. But I have a great career, so I'm running because I want to see this city change. And what I want to do is start with saying I understand that skepticism. I understand that, and that's why we need good people that are running for public office and people that are going to do this. I'd love to be able to open it up to some questions if you have them, kind of get started. And by the way, one of the greatest privileges I've had over the last 8 years is serving on the council and representing the district that's just north of you all. And working along with you know, Councilor Ken Sanchez, Liz Pena, and others. You know, three councilors on the west side really fight for the west side. You know, we have differences in nine city councilors that are all different. But one thing about, you know, Ken and Chris, that we put the west side first and really fought hard, you know, to make sure that the west side has what it needs. I think over $100 million in the last, you know, 3 or 4 years of capital funding and spending on the west side of Albuquerque that we fought for, and I'm very grateful for that. My wife also teaches here on the west side, of course, she teaches third grade at Seven Bar Elementary School. I run a company. Our headquarters of our company is on the west side of Albuquerque. We employ 24 people. It's a homegrown company, and we've created private jobs here in the city of Albuquerque. I've also been an entrepreneur, started two companies before that. And we need somebody that bears office who understands how business works and has created private jobs in our city and also knows how communities work and that our city can't thrive unless communities thrive. And I've been proud to be able to have the back of the communities on the west side and all kinds of different issues and things that have come up. And very, very, very grateful for you all and the work that we've been able to do together. So, all right, I promise I'll stop there now. We'll take a question.
So this has to do with maybe what you could do as mayor with regard to city responsiveness or responsiveness of the various departments where the neighborhood association, sometimes we've had issues and we try to get them addressed and there might not be any response. Then we try again and there's still no response. Is there something you would do as mayor to increase the sense of public service amongst the public servants? And if we came to the neighborhood association or some people in our area had something, a problem that was causing a significant amount of stress but it couldn't get addressed, would your office be open to neighborhoods approaching it?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I've worked with communities and neighborhoods and helped, you know, be a part of organizing associations and making sure they're registered with the city of Albuquerque and getting the notifications that are extremely important. But I'll tell you this too, I served for the last 8 years on the council, and there are people, the reputation that I've had as a city councilor is that no matter what, you might disagree with me, but you'll get a hold of me. And my office has been extremely responsive, and I want to see a mayor's office that is extremely responsive in that way too, in every single department. And the vision is a vision of a city government where there is not a separation between the city government and communities. But they are connected and they're part of the very fabric together, you know, figuring out neighborhood issues. The best ideas that I think we've ever voted on and ever done have come from the neighborhoods. And they didn't originate out of the mayor's office or even out of the city council, you know, but they come from the neighborhoods. And so I can tell you that as somebody who has, who's served on the council, who has, you know, there's a natural tension between the council and the mayor's office. And and that's the way it's set up, where it checks and balances, but we also, you know, fight for and serve the constituents and the community that we serve. I'm looking forward to doing that in all 9 city council districts and as a city, and ensuring and leading those departments, helping them understand and making sure that they work for you all and not the other way around.
So I don't know if this is, you know, something the mayor could do, but I heard that they're developing further on the west side, like there's homes being developed out there or something, or that off and on. There's all kinds of growth. What, but there's a lot of traffic, you know, going to the other side of town to work. How are you gonna address that, or is that a major issue?
Sure, that's absolutely a mayor's issue. Talk about some of the projects that I think are a priority for the west side.
Like housing development.
Yeah, that I think certainly relates to that. But, you know, for the longest time, we've played catch-up. We have a lot of R1 developments on the west side of Albuquerque. Some great neighborhoods, just not the services and the jobs that we need to be able to have a really good mix of community, you know, where people live and work and play. And so that's why you have the jobs, the housing imbalance on the east side and west side, where there's two jobs on the east side. It's a 2-to-1 imbalance is what it is. You know, you got twice as many jobs on the east side of the river and downtown than you do on the west side. And so we need to balance that out. I championed the Paseo I-25 interchange, you know, something that was a dire need that we all recognized we needed to get rid of, we needed to improve and to change. And that came out of the council, came out of a dire need of the community. And then the council came together, and all 9 of us that said, that's a dire need that we need to fix. The Unser extension. Now, the 2.5-mile Unser extension, Unser is a regional roadway that connects 2 cities and 2 counties. And so we were able to get that done, be able to widen that road. So it's being proactive when it comes to our infrastructure. The SAD 228 is an example of good planned communities that have foresight for infrastructure. The San Del Vulcan, I think, is an important roadway for the city of Albuquerque that connects, again, 2 counties, you know, 2 cities. It has regional significance and can help us to be able to create jobs. The zoning, a big part of this is zoning, because, again, a lot of the west side is zoned R1, and we need to be smart about how we zone it so that we can create jobs on the west side. The Volcano Heights sector development plans are examples of the community and business and landowners working together to give overlay, you know, zoning direction to an area, a lot of empty land on the west side, but ensuring that it's not just R1, you know, homes stacked upon each other. In fact, the Journal Center is the largest concentration of jobs in the entire state of New Mexico, is the Journal Center. We zoned the Unser and Paseo del Norte, you know, area as we were working on that sector plan, is zoned as a major activity center in the same way that the Journal Center is. And so that's the kind of foresight, that's the kind of things that we need to do to be able to change it, you know, ultimately. But, you know, it's not just about, not, believe me, I can tell you and I can show you some neighborhoods on the west side that should have never been built, you know. So we got to be smart, we got to be proactive, and I think that has to do with the balance of listening to the community, ensuring we have the infrastructure in place, and not just build our own homes or what we go to.
Piggybacking on her question, though, I was under the impression that some of the housing is going to go up in areas for like transient housing and complex. Is that not the case?
Where is that?
We talked about over by, you know, I thought the Mesa here, they were going to, remember that one side, it was in the same color, and then talking about out of Tom Street Tower. That I know where we go to, you know, right.
So I think there's a couple of issues. One might be, you know, San Leon and the development there, I'll say one thing about it is we want to make sure that that's a development that puts a high priority on jobs. You know, that again, it's not just housing, but there's jobs. It is a decision that's in the county. It's certainly something that as a city we're going to be interested in because we want to see it in a way that is correctly developed and has the input of everybody around. I think you might be talking about the IPOs or there's the overlay. I mean, that's big. I mean, we're actually in the process of that right now and probably have a final vote on that in a few weeks from now. I think we're going to have a couple more hearings. it's big, and it should have all the time in the world to make sure that we get the consensus on it. So, I'm sorry.
Where's this at?
The IDO is the Integrated Development Ordinance, and it's an initiative. It's before the council right now that has given some predictability. It's actually given some consistency with the zoning around the entire city. And to be honest, it's been pretty controversial. I mean, there's been a lot of input from neighborhoods and from the development community, and a lot of hearings. It's been about 2 years of hearings now on it. And right now, it's getting down to some pretty specific areas, you know, that people have. You might be referring to, you know, the Knob Hill Central area, where there's an amendment that it was actually amended in the Land Use and Planning Committee. We've not voted on this yet, but it has been amended in that way where it limits some heights of buildings in Knob Hill. I think gives some incentive to workforce housing. They want to build an extra, you know, 5 stories, and 2 4-stories, if they want to build 5 stories, and give them an incentive to be able to do that if they want to make it work for workforce housing. I think that part might be what you're referring to. But again, that's not finalized. Yes, sir.
Mr. Mayor, it took me an hour and a quarter to get from the neighborhood up the street here to Manolo and Hotline. I tried to get down to Brewers, trying to get to the freeway. I finally got to my time. Now we get Chandelier coming. How are we going to get us across the river from this neighborhood?
Yeah, you know, it's really the only way. I mean, it's going to be a balance of jobs and housing, that we put more jobs on the west side of Albuquerque, and that we have the infrastructure, we have the foresight, you know, the type of infrastructure like the Sail Del Hogan, you know, like what we did with Unser Boulevard, like what we've done with our sector development plans, that prioritize, you know, services and jobs and major activity areas. I mean, ultimately, that's what's going to change it. We're probably not going to, in the near future, build any new bridges. And so, you know, we could talk about that and we could propose that, but in reality, what's really going to change that is being very proactive in how the West Side develops in the coming years. You know, I think I'm saying that Vulcan, one of the biggest complaints of the mayor of Bernalillo, about the Sandal Vulcan, which is west of the airport. It'll be an interchange, and then it'll be a roadway that'll connect the San Juan County and Rio Rancho. A third of the Sandal Vulcan is actually already built right now. It goes from 550 to the Santa Ana Star Center. And so the mayor of Bernalillo said it's going to dump a bunch of traffic from the west side into my city here, you know. And I thought, welcome to my world, you know. We got Rio Rancho and the entire, you know, Northwest communities all up there, and everything's funneled into our neighborhoods right there too. So again, I believe the solution is to be able to have the foresight to be able to build that infrastructure and be proactive before we build a whole lot of homes out there, change our zoning, make sure we have a good mixed use of zoning, and make sure we really work on jobs on the west side that are really going to change it. It's frustrating. I work at West Side, we deal with that frustration, and you know, when there's a wreck on Montaño or like 40, and you know, shuts down business, it shuts us all down for, you know, several hours at a time. I want to make sure I'm getting to everybody. I apologize if I'm not.
Your commercials really stuck out to me, and I just want to know a little bit more about what you're going to do about the crime, because it's just gotten so much worse.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, my goal, I'll stop nothing short than making the city of Albuquerque the very worst place to be a criminal. I mean, the most unwelcome place for people who want to steal cars and break into homes and businesses, and I have a very specific plan to be able to do that. It's a plan that puts 1,200 officers on the streets of Albuquerque. It specifically tells how we're going to do that, how we're going to pay for it. I'm going to do a mid-year budget substitute on my first day in office that proposes $15 million. We have a $530 million budget. We don't have a money problem at City Hall. We have a priorities problem. And I will propose as mayor $15 million that will go into the Albuquerque Police Department and make sure our officers have a competitive wage. We'll keep them from going to other agencies as they are right now, many of them are. And then we'll make sure that department is 60% doing field services. You'll see marked police officers parking cars everywhere you go. And officers that are involved in community policing, but we can't get there until we have the number of police officers for us to be able to do that. We'll see a lot of officers return to work when we pay them 90% of their pension, their retirement. And so my plan is very, very specific with a very a knowledge of how the city of Albuquerque works, you know, how that budget works and what the officers need and what it's going to take to be able to change the department. You know, we're going to have new leadership at APD. We're going to lead from the front when it comes to the courts and the DOJ. We're not going to let them drag us along. We'll lead from the front. And we're going to hold the courts accountable in the city. We have a broken criminal court system. Somebody stabbed somebody 27 times on the Boston Central, and then within 2 hours after seeing a judge is back out on the streets, we have a major problem. And there was an effort to reduce the jail population. In 2014, there were 3,100 inmates in the Metro Detention Center, and there are less than 1,100 right now. And they overshot. And so with different rules by the New Mexico Supreme Court, judges that abuse their own standards, we have judges' decisions that are making our streets in this neighborhood more dangerous because of people, offenders, that they call everybody not low-level nonviolent. And they qualify for pretrial services, which replaced our bail bond industry. And so we need a mayor. My opponent says, that's not our job. I believe it's our job. Now, we're going to do our job. We're going to get the officers that we need. We're going to make sure officers are responding to calls, and we have the detectives that are investigating real crimes and gathering evidence and showing up in court. But I will also stand up every day and talk about, and we will point the finger at judges and at a broken criminal court system that's making our city more dangerous, and the mayor's got to take responsibility for that. Thank you for asking that. I want to make sure I'm getting to everybody.
We're going to ask for one last question.
Yes, sir.
Another question. I keep hearing this. We're going to get a hospital. We're going to get a hospital. Myself as a law enforcement officer, I would not want to come to work for APD right now. You can pay me $35 an hour, and I still wouldn't want to work for it. You have officers out there that are doing their job, but they're handcuffed by the DOJ and by the mayor and everything else. They get free scuffles or anything like that in the streets, and now all of a sudden they have to sit in front of the board, even if they're unfounded, of course. So these guys are going to offer more money, but no one's going to come here because they don't want to get fired and get, possibly have their certification ripped out from under them for doing their job.
What agency?
I work with the Valencia County.
Excellent. I've been in service. Absolutely. We'll have their backs. I mean, we need a mayor who's going to lead and have their backs. And I'll tell you that many of the problems and challenges that they've been using because of failed leadership in this administration, that every opportunity that they have to be able to get ahead of crime, every opportunity they have to be able to lead that department to be trusted and respected by the people of Albuquerque, they miss. I serve on a council. We do a lot for our constituents and our neighbors, the people that we serve, but we're not the executive of the city. In fact, we're prohibited in many ways from being able to negotiate with APD leadership, to be able to have any kind of HR influence with them. We're actually prohibited by law in those ways. So I cannot wait to be the executive and to show those police officers that we have their back. We're going to give them every resource they need. We're going to make sure they're well-led and well-trained and have everything they need to be able to do their job. And ensure they come home safe every night. I mean, the people that, like yourself, that put your life on the line, you risk your life every day for ours. I promise you, the officers that do that in the city of Albuquerque, you're going to be backed up. We're going to back them up. We're going to make sure they have everything they need. The union, 6 or 7 people in the fire union, and the little guys in the APD union endorsed my opponent. I can tell you that about 4 out of 5 of every one of our rank and file, knows who's going to support them. And who's going to support the one that's going to win.
And the numbers, they're putting out the numbers that we have 800 officers. But they're not telling people, those are the administrative staff, those are the chief, those aren't the guys that
60% of that department that we described very much in detail on the streets responding to calls. And also in marked vehicles. We have a lot of officers that are in unmarked vehicles, and there's no reason why they shouldn't be. A lot of it, you know, we make our streets a whole lot more safer when we have one of those cars that actually marked and the officers are actually responding to calls. And then again, our detective, we have a lot of detectives that are also behind the desk too, and not really investigating. I'm going to get rid of those jobs. The job where people are behind the desk, and many of them can be done by a civilian. I'm not going to get rid of the job. I'm just going to make sure that they're, you know, if you want to keep your job, you're going to be out on the streets, and you're going to be investigating. So, thanks for bringing that up from your perspective as an officer in Lindsay County. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You could try to do a question, but let's do one more.
Okay. Can I ask back to the public transportation car?
Sure.
Yes, it's here, but, you know, I'm one of the ones that live in the general center, and when there's a crash, I would think, is there any priority to the car that starts bringing stuff to the west side so that we can get across? You know, I don't mind thinking from the transportation if it's safe, and there's no time out of the request, but it just seems like there's not that option at all. And if you talk about bringing businesses here, my agency is not coming to the west side. We have the general center, the federal government. So I don't see that happening as far as business growth out there with me. But would that be something that they could work on, or is that true?
You know, back in, I mean, this would have been when I was, you know, first elected, here I'm getting elected, the very first thing I heard about the ART was about then, it was about 2010, so 7 or 8 years ago. And it was called the BRT, Bus Rapid Transit. And they were talking about a line, a rapid bus line that would go from Cottonwood Mall to the Journal Center. I mean, that was really the seeds of the idea of ART. It's interesting that originally it was about solving road problems, about actually solving traffic problems on the west side and the east side, getting people to work, moving commerce quickly, and making sure the city works. And so I was supportive of that. I thought that was supportive, but of course the cost was astronomical, you know, so I wasn't supportive of that. But at least we were trying, and there was an effort to try and solve some of those problems. And this, you know, the ART didn't solve from starting that way. It didn't start by solving any problems at all, you know. And we're going to work hard to make it work. I mean, the next mayor's going to have a ribbon cut. You know, what Tim was talking about having open up private lanes and general traffic. I actually have a bill that said, look, we're gonna ensure that that is the case. That we're gonna study it, analyze it, make dumb decisions without new data, and analyzing it. And so I wanna make sure that it's doing what it promised to do. And if not, we will. It will open up effective lanes and general traffic, we'll cut turn lanes. And ultimately, we're gonna make it work. And I will always support, you know, we have great transit lines, we can continue to improve it. We built on some boulevard, you know. Some of the infrastructure we put in paved the way, literally paved the way for us to have transit to some of the areas of the west side that we would have never had before. So, continuing to improve that whole system, I think, is critical. Ultimately, when it comes to the west side, it's going to have a lot to do with the same things that we mentioned also, just helping how the future of the west side is developing. Thank you all very much. Thanks for having us.